السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن هذا لهو الفوز العظيم لمثل هذا فليعمل العاملون صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala May His choices, blessings be upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Competition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made human beings with many different characteristics, many different qualities, and some of them are such that they are intrinsic, they are naturally born within a human being. One of these natural intrinsic qualities of a human being is that he has a competitive nature. He has the desire to outcome others, to beat others, to be first, to be better than others, to strive to ensure that he goes ahead of others. This is naturally in human beings. Now, I know you must be saying, Maulana, are you sure about this? Because maybe I'm not a competitive guy, you know, maybe it's somebody else you're talking about. No, it does fluctuate between people. In certain people, the competitive streak is very low. Only in certain issues which concern them or beloved to them or which they find themselves naturally good at, they might be competitive in that. You get other people who are ultra competitive in every aspect of life, from the schoolyard playing to the siblings rivalry to business events, every field, everywhere, their life is a whole competition. Their life is all about getting to become first. Alhamdulillah, as insan, we are ashraful makhlukat, we are the best of creation. So to a certain extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sufficed for us our competition as far as survival goes. If we look around the globe, in the animal kingdom, it's all about survival. The lion and the buck, one is either going to stay hungry or the other one is going to be hunted. So many a times there it's between life and death. In insan we don't have that need of competition for life and death. In insan, where does our competition go? In worldly terminology, if you look at it, it's normally for economic security, it's for power, it's for place, it's for goods, it's for money, it's for material things. And Unfortunately, the focus in today's time is that the competition, the mutual rivalry to acquire these things have driven so much that sometimes all our energies are depleted there. We don't even realize it. I give you an example I see quite a few youngsters here. They'll understand. Maybe the elderly people won't understand. Even in the sports arena, they've made competition so much that there is hardly a sport in the world around the globe where you won't have competitive sports. Where there'll be a World Cup, there'll be a something, there'll be matches, there'll be tournaments. And even if it doesn't have anything to do with us, say for example in another corner of the globe, two teams are playing soccer and one team beats the other one 5-0, for example. I'm just giving, I'm not taking any names. I'm not saying who, when, how, why, what. So, one team beat the other one 5-0. Now for days on end, all our efforts, all the focus, the debates, the discussions, the fights, the everything is about some, we're not even in the competition, but our competitive energies are being used for something else based on that competition. So now you must be thinking, Maulana, so now you're telling us on one end, competitive nature is part and intrinsic to man, and then you're telling us all these downsides of it. So is the competitive nature of human, is it good or is it bad? Just tell us, you know, is it good or is it bad? So I'm going to give you a simple, inshallah, simple two sentence answer. I know there's a lot of other discussions, we're not going into psychology, we're not discussing the various types of the pros and cons of a competitive environment, and the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious levels of competition and rivalry. We're not going to any of those discussions. Simple, in the house of Allah, two simple sentences which will basically encapsulate the entire discussion. Number one, competition for the year after is good. Number two, competition for dunya is not good. Competition for Allah, for eternal, for Jannah, for forever, that is something which is desirable. Competition for dunya is something which is undesirable. Competition for dunya is ephemeral, it's transitory, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. How can a person be running after and competing for something which Allah described as mata'ul ghurur? Just a few days of temporary enjoyment, something which is going to, if we really have to compete, why are we competing in something which is not even equal to the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we have that natural feeling, that natural rivalry which might come, whether it's personal or impersonal on the different levels. But where do we need to focus it? Where do we need to direct it? We need to direct it towards that which will attain us salvation in the eternal life, and that is the life of the year after. So that is the simple understanding. So please, okay, on the same time, let's just clarify something. Nobody must get the misconception. Hey, Maulana, are you trying to say that, you know what, we must just be lexy-daisy, we must just be mediocre in our work, we mustn't worry about our commitments, we mustn't worry about our family responsibilities, about financial responsibilities. Maulana said, don't worry about dunya. No, 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 no. I'm not saying that divorce the dunya. I'm not saying that don't fulfill your responsibilities. I'm saying that understand what is a priority in our short life in this world. We want to compete. Where should we be competing? Where should we? Allahu Akbar. When it comes to akhirat, there's no level. We go for it. We go all out for it. As much as we can do, whenever we can do, we do. But when it comes for dunya, we need to have a balance. How do we have a balance? Number one, my exertions, my striving for dunya will only be according to the command of Almighty Allah, within that framework. It can't be out of that framework. Number two, my striving for dunya and my desire to be number one and top in everything of dunya, I have to be able to quell that down by what? By qana'at, by contentment. When I bring that quality of contentment in my heart, that I have sufficient. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, Allahumma aj'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. Oh Allah, make the sustenance for the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quta. Quta, ulama explain, is sufficient that I don't have to stretch my hand to somebody else, but not so much which will make me forget my Almighty Allah. So in dunya, there must be this balance. But the ironic part is, today it's the opposite. When it's dunya achievements, we tell even our own children, go for it, you must make sacrifice, you must strive, yes, you go all out. And when it comes to deen, we say, you know, take it easy, brother, you know, there's no extremism in Islam. You know, there is another way also you can do this here. You don't have to do it, you know, there must be moderation. We are promoting moderation in Islam, which is an abused word, which is a separate topic on its own. But that same moderation in dunya, which Allah Ta'ala tells us, don't run after, that we haven't yet applied. When it comes to deen, then it's, let's see if there's a corner to cut. When it comes to dunya, no, no, let's go straight to the top. When it comes to dunya, it's number one, I want what is best. And when it comes to deen, I say, I'm ready to settle for second best. You know, there was one person, he went with his son, father and son, they went to one alim, they went to meet one scholar, not a young boy. The youngster was married also, but he went with his father to meet a scholar. A scholar was coming to the area, like alhamdulillah, in Durban, yeah, around the corner from you. Alhamdulillah, tomorrow we're having, what a beautiful program, with all the senior ulama of the country who are coming, and Wifaqul Ulama is gathering hundreds of people coming, busing in from different areas, just to be in the company and the suhbat of these pious people for a few minutes. Allah Ta'ala accept it, Allah Ta'ala make it a resounding success. Allah Ta'ala keep their shadow over us for many, many years to come. And Allah Ta'ala allow us to benefit from them over and over again. So this man went with his son to the pious person. You know, we're going to take du'as, we're going to meet him, everything. And then as they were sitting there, the son decided he got some questions, he wanted to ask some maslas. So he asked the pious man, you know, I got some questions. like Nafal Salah, for example, like do we have to read it or can we skip it out? You know, like few questions. So the alim explained to him, he said, you see, the best is obviously that you read your Nafal Salah also. But say, for example, you can't manage for certain reasons, or you're in a hurry, or you got to go somewhere, or something like that, then as long as you're doing your farad, your wajib, your sunnah mu'akkada, then there is sometimes leeway, second best, but you can leave out the nafal, no problem. So that young said, oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, I'm fine with second best. I'm fine with second best. His father turned around and he gave him one thundering shot. Now that boy looked like, what's happening, Papa? You hitting me in front of everyone. He said, don't come tell me you're ready for second best. When you went hunting for a wife, you made me go 20 women. You were never ready with happy with second best. There you wanted the best. That samosa run never finished. You were this wasn't right, that wasn't right, this wasn't right. You wanted it perfect, tailor-made for yourself. So in dunya, for your own choices, what you did, you wanted first best. I'm not settling for second best. I'm only going for the best. Anyways, nevertheless, we're living in an environment in the world where the competitive nature of human beings and the competitive energy is being driven towards acquiring dunya. It's been driven, no matter how much, like Nabi alayhi salam said, if you had the valley of gold, you would desire that second valley. وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَفَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ. When the sand, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. When this rivalry and this competition is going to overtake you, it will make you lose sense of everything which is important. Until حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. One day when that body is put down in the grave, will realize it is game over. It is actually game over. The sad part about mutual rivalry and competition in dunya is that our deen is always a casualty. Sooner or later, willingly or unwillingly, a person who strives to be the best in dunya and to achieve the best and to be the best in everything, sooner or later, a choice will have to be made, where either he's going to go ahead with his pursuits of this world, or he's going to compromise on some aspect of his deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man ahabba dunya adarra bi akhirati, wa man ahabba akhiratahu adarra bi dunya, fa'athiru ma yabqa ala ma yafna." Narration of Musnad Ahmad, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned that if you're going to pursue and love your akhirat, you have going to suffer some loss in your dunya. But if you're going to pursue your dunya, your deen is going to go on the sideline. فَآثِرُ مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Give preference to that which is eternal over that which is transitory and ephemeral. Understand, O mankind, that there is a choice. There's a choice. We have the desire to be competitive, to achieve the best, 100%. Just channel that competitive energies of ours towards deen and see how deen will flourish in the entire world. See the difference it will make in my life, in my family's life, in my children's life. Someone might say, and this is a very common argument we hear time and again, that why can't you do both? Why can't you do both? Get best of both. So they'll misuse the ayat of Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana and say, you know what? You need best of both worlds. So you must be competitive in trying to achieve the best in dunya and try and achieve the best in akhirat as well. So while on paper and in theory it sounds like something good, in reality, let's ask ourselves, what percentage of people who have gone full out for worldly ambitions have managed not to compromise on any aspect of their deen in their worldly ambitions as well? Is it 1%? Is it 2%? Or is it even less than that? A choice has to be made, and that choice is in our hands. The choice to decide that there is no way I can allow my deen to be compromised in my pursuit of materialism or whatever it might come by. Let me give you a few simple examples. One practical example is what we just went past now. The municipal elections finished now last week or this week. So what was or might have been once upon a time a conduit of making khidmat for the community, of serving the community, has unfortunately become a political circus. And that is the reality of it. But say, for example, you even get one person who's mukhlis, sincere, devoted, dedicated, What he desires and he wants is that I must serve my community. I must ensure that they're going to get top level service delivery. I want to be there for my community. Even then, with this genuinely dedicated person, sooner or later there has to be some compromise on his deen. If he was an individual who followed the guidelines of our Akabirin, he said, I don't take photographs unnecessarily. Suddenly when it came to elections, his face is posted around the whole town. On every light post you see in his face. A person had this much conscience in themselves that, listen here, I don't mix with unnecessarily and intermingle with the opposite gender, with females. Now it's part and parcel of your campaign. Now you are sitting and having dinner with so and so, then you are taking selfies with this lady, then you are hugging, then you are shaking hands, then you are cutting ribbons together. All that in the name of what? That no, I want to do something good for my community. He wants to do good. He's trying to go up and put his rankings on top so he can be called counselor of his ward. But what happens is the compromise which comes on the deen that is not acceptable in our Sharia. Even worse, sometimes a person might have to say, okay, I need to go to the church. I need to go and offer a sacrifice at the temple. Astaghfir. A Muslim. No, Mawlana, it's just in the name of unity. In the name of unity, you are busy sacrificing something to a deity besides Allah. Does Allah want that type of unity? Is that what is called for us? Or from us? And worse, what we've heard of is, there are some people who say we are a Muslim party, but we do not advocate for the implementation of Allah's laws anywhere in the world. Oh, what amount of compromise we are making in our thoughts, in our ideology, in our implementation. Like one person said it very nicely. He said the definition of a secular Muslim today is a person who says, I believe in my Allah. My Allah is so powerful, He creates the entire universe to the T, to perfection. Every planet is running on its place, on its time. The sun, the moon, the day, the night, the seasons, the rain, the sun, everything. But I don't think my Allah knew what He was doing when He sent down laws to guide the Ummah in Sharia. He's not saying it by His tongue, He's saying it by His actions. That I rather follow a democratic way of life, I rather follow a system of the kuffar, rather than saying, oh Allah, when again will I have the opportunity to live under Your law in this world? Allah Ta'ala grant us the correct understanding. Never to compromise our deen for something which might seem to be of benefit to us. A lot of people say this also, Mawlana, you know what, you need to look at the bigger picture. For the greater good we are doing certain things. Certain things, you know, it's hikmat, it's wisdom, this is how we do it. And there's political benefit in it. I just ask you two questions. Okay, number one, political benefit or perceived political benefit? There's a big difference between the two. For years, we haven't seen any political benefit to the Ummah. Is it perhaps not your ideology of political benefit, but it's your own agenda which you are pursuing in the name of Islam? And when it comes to hikmat and people say, you know what, it's wisdom to do all these things. I remember the words of my Ustad, may Allah Ta'ala grant him long life and continue to allow us to benefit. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Saeed Mutara, Damat Barakatum, he used to always tell us, there's no hikmat and no wisdom in the disobedience of Allah. There's no hikmat and wisdom in the disobedience of Allah. If you're saying that there's another methodology to bring people closer to Allah, then do it. But how can you be doing something which is disobedient to Allah and saying we are going to try and bring people closer to Allah? So anyways, leave the political discussions. The time is almost up. Any example we take in this world where there's a choice of making fikr and pushing ourselves and finishing ourselves either for dunya or for deen, let us always give preference. فَآخِرُ مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Give preference to deen rather than to something else. Take a practical example for all the youngsters here. Now it is November. November, we know it's time for exams. So everybody, okay, that's a different topic on its own. School and secular education and to what extent. And so, ya Allah, the amount which people, Allah forbid, are pushing the ideologies of others over us. Sometimes this is just it's overwhelming, the actual topic which I'm supposed to speak on. I remember a few years ago when there was a big debate about certain scholars trying to justify their appearance on television. And I spoke out against it. and somebody came and they came to my house and they said, you know, you people, you will thank us in 10 years time. I'm telling him 10 years is almost gone. What must we thank you for? What must we thank you for? We are biting the bullet on behalf of the ummah and we are going ahead to justify and make television halal. No one is telling you jazakallah. All you've done is you've bolstered your own image and your own agenda which you had, and you've confused the ummah in trying to make television halal. That's all you've done. The same thing comes about now. I've heard this in the week personally from an alim. He said he was there at the discussion where somebody spoke to one of the people who were instrumental in closing the masajid, especially in the Gauteng region, and told him, you know what, man, why don't you just retract from your mistake you made? But Allah forbid, sometimes the focus goes so much on dunya, the man's response till now, it's still ringing in my ears. I can't even understand. His words were, same lame excuses. In 10 years time, you people will thank us for closing the masajid. Where is the focus of mind left when a person forgets what is my objective? فَأَثِرُ مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. I am aiming there. The world, when that becomes my objective, I will have to compromise to such an extent that I'll be doing something detrimental to my community, but I will think that no, it is beneficial for the community. So nevertheless, let us take last few minutes, take some examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba. How they strived. What did they do? Well, their efforts were all the opposite of what we are doing. One Sahabi says, once I performed Asr Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. After Asr Salah, Nabi alayhi salam got up quickly, fast. He jumped over the shoulders of the people. He went to the house of one of his wives and we were all in shock. What is happening? The Nabi of Allah, this is not normal for him to jump over and to rush through the crowd. And when Nabi alayhi salam came out, he saw we are still in shock. He said, you are surprised perhaps at what I have done today. I remembered that there was a small piece of gold of sadaqah which I had not given out yet. I rushed to get rid of it. And today we are rushing to attain it. That was where the difference is. The competitiveness of this world versus the competitiveness for the year after. If we can just channel that same competitive energy of ours into acquiring the year after. A sahabi in the battle of Badr, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, he was busy eating some dates. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if I am martyred now, where will I go? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you guaranteed Jannah. If he didn't even finish the dates, he threw it one side and he went forward. Nabi alayhi salam afterwards stood at his body and said, you are truthful. You are truthful in your quest. You have attained Jannah. Respected friends, let me end with one incident. The ayat which I read at the beginning in Surah Safat. In Surah Safat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about various things. One of the topics which Allah ta'ala covers is the entrance into Jannah, the rewards of Jannah. And then Allah Ta'ala speaks of a unique discussion which will take place. Ibn Kathir rahimullah explains the incident behind this. He says there were two people from Bani Israel. They were partners in a business. They made a profit of 8,000 dinars. And then they split that profit. I'm running through the story quickly. I might miss a few parts. He split that profit into two parts, 4,000 dinars. He took 1,000 of his dinars. He went, he bought a smart bungalow, a palace, a mansion he bought for himself. He called his friend, he said, come and look at my beautiful house. His friend came and he saw it, he said, oh, very good, very smart, very nice. When he came out, he lifted his hands, he said, oh Allah, my friend bought for himself a house here. I am giving out 1,000 dinars in sadaqah in your path. I am asking you for a house when my eyes close in Jannah. Some time went by and this man got married to a very noble woman. And he spent 1,000 dinars, the same first person, in meher and dowry for his wife. And again he called his friend, he said, now you first saw my house, now come see. I come for a meal, I've married a so and so woman, I've given her 1,000 dinars in meher. He came, he sat for the meal, he said, very good, you know, no problem. And he walked out, he lifted his hands, he said, oh Allah, my friend spent 1,000 dinars on the dowry of a woman of this world. I'm giving 1,000 dinars out in sadaqah. I am asking you to get me wed to the Hurul Een on the day of Qiyamah. Time went past and this man, the first man again, he went and he bought two gardens, two orchards, beautiful. Basically he was building his empire. He was invested. He was competing in dunya. He built his empire of this world and he had it all laid out for him. And now he called his friend, same thing again, see my two orchards. He said, very good. He lifted his hand and said, oh Allah, I'm giving 2,000 dinars in sadaqah. I ask you for two gardens in Jannah. Long story short, Ibn Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi explains that there's an extra portion of this narration where the man who had given everything in sadaqah, he had a financial need. He went back to his friend and he asked him, can you please help me? His friend said, but you had 4,000, you did nothing with it. Where's your 4,000? Why are you coming to ask me? So he explained to him the whole story. When you were buying here, I was buying for the akhirat. When you were getting married here, I was getting married in Jannah. When you were getting your orchards here, I was getting my gardens in Jannah. The man laughed at him and he mocked him. He said, أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ What? You think we're going to, there's another life and we're going to be brought up and you wasted your money. Go, I got no time for you. I'm not borrowing you a cent. Allah Ta'ala took both of them. And when the first man, was put in Jahannam, who rejected Almighty Allah in Akhirat, the second man was brought forward and they opened the doors of Jannah. They said, here's your house you bought already. Here's your hoor waiting for you. Here's your orchards waiting for you. And at that moment, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made the declaration, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ This is genuine success. This is true success. If you want to compete, if you want to use your energy and your rivalry, then use it in the manners of deen. Use it in the avenues of deen. Use it in that which really matters, and that is acquiring the eternal life of the year after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us all in the gardens of Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to spend all our energies, our abilities and our capabilities for His deen, and let Him be pleased with us when our eyes close. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.